Episode 321 brought to you by DRF Sports. We're back. Jumbled episode. There's a few different topics that we're going to talk about here. Drake goes on a crazy story with a U-Haul and a storage unit. Michigan's cheating all over the place in the Big Ten tournament, of course. And Charlie Jones, he's leaving Iowa. I'm sad. Let's have a day anyway. Let's go.
Welcome back, Watch the Walk-Ons fans, episode 321 of the podcast. And today, I don't really know what we're going to talk about for the whole podcast, but I know how I'm going to start us off. Kevin is going to be joining us a little bit late this evening because he is at Annie Bauer's graduation party. Hey, Bane, could you please not play with a squeaky toy while I'm broadcasting? Give me a second, ladies and gentlemen.
Just in the background. Squeaky, squeak, squeak.
My sincerest apologies about my young son. He likes to kill things, like his father. So,
right, well,
where was I at? Oh, yes, Annie Bauer's graduation party. Congratulations, Annie Bauer. I cannot believe that she is old enough to graduate. Yeah. I very, very much will always look at Annie as the young Annie that we knew when we were playing college ball. Goat Bauer, as we called her. And, you know, Bo's little sister. It just doesn't seem like she should be old enough to graduate yet. But congratulations, Annie. That's where Kevin's at until about 7 p.m. But the NBA playoffs are on tonight, and I'm not hanging around on this podcast until 8:30 p.m. It's just not happening. So, anyways, Kluver and I starting this thing off, and I'm gonna let him speak a few words before I go into my story, even though I should honestly just go into it and make him shut the fuck up for once, because he never does. So, Kluver, defend yourself and then kick it back to me.
Hey, what a podcast concept. Just fucking, he's just shut the fuck up. All right, now talk, defend yourself, and then bring it back. I mean, what the fuck, man? Well, welcome in. It's 3-2-1. I'm not gonna be long-winded. I mean, like Drake said, we don't have a ton to talk about. Fucking Michigan's cheating in baseball.
Hilarious, dude. Hilarious.
I mean,
love that our Discord is just destroying the University of Michigan.
Yeah, rocking a bunch of conversation in our Discord. If you'd like to join that, patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Your donation monthly goes to a lot of things. Soon to be that your donation will not only be your subscription/donation will be for the kids. It'll be for the extra content, and it will also be for the walk-ons, because we're going to have a washed up walk-on NIL deal. Something.
Talk dirty to me.
Yeah.
Talk nasty to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's, you know,
does that mean we're technically above the whole coaching staff when it comes to players, because you know, they're their coaches, but we're their employers?
I knew you were going to say something like that. I was like, Drake's 100% going to say we own them now. I don't know if we have enough money to own them. We'll see. Depends on the people listening and how much. I do know this. I've had several people who already subscribe to the Patreon personally reach out, because we've floated this idea before and been like, hey, you know, bare minimum, what I want to do, and you know, Drake and Kevin and I, if we had a fucking vision board in the Washed Up Walk-Ons HQ, which none of which exists, there would be like, you know, Washed Up Walk-Ons NIL sponsorship. And the bare minimum would be like an athlete kit, right? We get them some, we get them swagged out in some cool, exclusive, only for players gear that they can rock. And maybe they do a couple posts on their Instagram or whatever for us. Don't really care about that so much, but just something cool to wear around. And then more importantly, just like, you know, just a little walking around money, right? Like, And what's unfortunate, or maybe it's fortunate and unfortunate, is that there's guys like Drake who are going to take that. They're going to drive to Riverside on a Thursday night, and they're going to use it to enter 35.
Don't you judge me. Don't you dare judge me.
They're going to use it to 35 of it, go straight to the tournament. And then when they bust the tournament, because they're playing aggressive early, they hop right in the cash game. But hey, if we can fund some degeneracy down at the old Riverside, more power to us, right? I don't care. Hey, they spend their money how they want. So we've had a couple people. One guy straight up was like, you know, if you guys figure out some set parameters of like what a one person athlete kit, one athlete sponsorship, whatever that would be, is, I'm down to fork up 500 to a G each year of this kid's time.
Hit him with a G bar.
Like, and I'm pretty sure this guy was talking about specifically a kid coming from his area. So, you know, he had a connection to him. He knows the kid. He wants him to do well.
I'm in on this big time.
So, I would be willing to bet that this
10% vague, of course, because the book's always got to get its juice.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't a fucking total charity here, right? Like, this is business. We'll be putting it together and all this stuff, but the majority of it, similar to how our podcast is set up, our brand is set up with our merchandise and our Patreon and any of the ad revenue that we get, any dollar that the Washed Up Walk-Ons LLC makes, half of it goes to the children. Another percentage will be now dedicated towards walk-ons. Again, we're still in the process of figuring this out. And if you guys listening have good ideas, please shoot them at me. It's not super complicated. It's basically a matter of taking a certain percentage, deciding what we want to give these guys, cash and otherwise. In my mind, it just is mostly cash and then some cool merch.
Cash, bro.
Yeah,
hit him with a jihad. A
jihad. Hit him with a grandpa, a little G spot, and yeah, and if we've got guys who are willing to fork up 500, a K per year for the length of somebody's, you know, to help a guy out and do it in a cool way through the Wash Up Walk-Ons, and we'll find ways to promote that, and we will definitely promote the guys who we have on deals through our Instagram, through our Twitter. Hell, maybe we even bring them on the podcast. Maybe we break our own rule, we just bring them on the podcast and give them a little shout out. But I think we could probably get, I mean, we could probably get a decent little amount of money for them. I don't know if we do all the walk-ons, because that's a lot of guys. But then if you do only certain ones, then you're basically saying like, hey, you're the shit of the walk-ons. You
know? Hey, dude, there's a totem pole, right?
There is.
You know when you're the shittier of the walk-ons, you're the one not getting the scholarship.
You're right. I mean, they're already getting it, you know, handed down from the university. So that's in the books and are in the works. And we hope to further that. Any ideas, hit me up. That'd be great. What else? Oh, Michigan's cheating. Some guy's using fucking tar in his glove or resin or whatever. They're trying to be the Astros. All I know is it sucks to be a Michigan Wolverine. Yeah, they're trash. They did beat us. Someone tweeted out that yesterday when we beat them, the Iowa baseball team outscored the Iowa football team versus Michigan. I had to remind the guy that they didn't have Hutchinson pitching on the mound, right? A little bit different unit out there for the Michigan baseball team than the Michigan football team. But they're cheaters. They got the win on us today, which sends them to the championship versus Rutgers, who's good at baseball, I guess. Bullshit. We should have got a basically just walked off the field after they found out we were cheating, in my opinion. And, that's about it. I don't know if you have anything else more to say about Michigan or them cheating or whatever, but
I mean, Michigan's cunts. Like the whole university, It's just the biggest group of front-running cunts of all time, and you just can't be surprised that those scumbags, you know, that's who they hire. They hire scumbags, and you can't be surprised that those scumbags would be teaching kids that if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I saw some bullshit last week about how like Jim Harbaugh is the best coach in the Big Ten right now or something, and I was like,
biggest dirtbag maybe.
based off of what? Like how weird you can be on a like visiting a kid in his hometown, like sleeping on his bedroom floor, like going to like, you know, having a pool day with the recruit. I can still hear the fucking dude. Bane is having a day right now. Hey, by the way, for those listening to DHT, well, I'll drop this, right? Drake and I have been going back and forth on
Dude, you're gonna let me tell this story or what?
Yes, but after, dude, this is important. The fully tented design and the Goopy DHT design are done. Drake and I have been going back and forth on them for several weeks. They're done. They are going live tomorrow. You're hearing this on Memorial Day Monday. They're going live tomorrow. We will tweet out the links. Well, no, we won't tweet out the links because these are Patreon exclusive designs. You do not have access to these unless you have a subscription, $4 minimum to the Patreon. And that's
You
just
should
a part.
definitely tweet out the designs, though, so that people are like,
Oh,
damn.
I definitely have promos ready to put on social.
My man.
There's just not going to be a link, right?
My man.
Because in the end, we're trying to stack racks for the homies over in Iowa City because we want the walk-ons.
Because we're good guys.
We
We're
want
good. We're trying to leave the jersey in a better place, man.
all we want is the kids to get better and the homies that don't have scholarships to eat a little, you know, a little
They
Fuji.
want their Jennings too, bro.
Right. You know, take your moped out to Coralville and get yourself some Whitey's ice cream on the weekend, right? Get two burritos instead of one. One's a snack, two's a meal. And to do that, we got to play the game of business a little bit. Right. So subscribe to the Patreon. Your money's going to a great place. You're going to
Two
spend
great places.
two great places. Honestly, three great places.
Not our wallets.
Yeah, no, our wallets is a third great place because it allows me to continue to do this and continue to bring Drake back to this shit show. And honestly, you're going to spend that $4, $8, or $12 a month on some bullshit anyway. Think about how much bullshit you buy for $4, $8, or $12 a month. A cup of coffee that's taking you further towards diabetes than you need to be.
And now you're just going to be buying the bullshit that we talk on DHT weekly.
With your $4, $8, or $12, you can buy community, entertainment, helping children get better, making them happier while they're in a time of need,
You can't buy into that.
and letting a walk-on buy an extra shot downtown. Okay.
Damn it. You're selling me hard on this.
Don't buy another cup of coffee that's gonna fucking crash your adrenals or some stupid ass toy for your dog who's gonna lose it in the fucking crick behind your house anyway.
Buy your way onto the front lines of the army.
Join the army. The walk-on army needs you. We need a poster. Oh, we need a poster like that
Dude,
one.
we need a poster.
So anyway, those are coming out
The army needs
tomorrow. Yeah, those are coming out tomorrow. Anybody in the army will get a link. If you're not in the army, no link. That's how it goes. And with that, before we get to Drake's story, we're gonna sell some more, baby. We're gonna sell him on some more. DRF, you guys have heard it all fucking year. They've been our sponsors. They let me say, you know, the F word, which I'm trying to cut back on, but not really. They're sending parlays to the moon, baby. Cash in with DRF Sportsbooks 22% profit
First winner to
boosts.
take it to the moon.
MLB, NBA, NHL parlays. The MLB season is in full swing, and we got the NBA playoffs. Drake made us schedule this podcast at a certain time so he could watch the game. We got the Stanley
Correct.
Cup playoffs. Celebrate all of that with DRF Sportsbook because they want to boost your profits and make you some green.
DRF's the shit.
Head on over to DRF Sportsbook now and start betting. All right. Back to the show. Drake Kulik in the text message with me and Kevin, or Kevin and I phonetically or you know, literature correct. over the last 4 days, Drake's had like six different times where he's like been like, dude, I've got a fucking story that's like out of this world, man. Hey, dude, I've got a DHT story that's wild. There's some crackhead. See,
I'm going back to these text messages because you said that.
On Friday, there was one you're like, dude, I saw some crackhead get arrested right in front of me or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Perfect DHT story about this crackheaded bitch getting arrested outside of the gym. It's a funny story.
Anyway, you've got another story specifically for the airtime with
about my stupid ass life.
Okay.
If you guys want to take a ride, just a trip down the life of Drake Kulik, the stupid life of Drake Kulik, close your eyes and hop on the ride.
Grab your Jennies and a spoon and let's get it.
Saturday morning, the 28th of May, I had scheduled a U-Haul to be rented from a couple miles away from my house and a storage unit reserved in the town where we are currently renting a house for 2 months before we move back to Arizona. So I have all of these things taken care of far in advance. And on the 27th of May, I get a call from U-Haul that says, hey, sorry that we don't have your truck where it's supposed to be. There's going to be one 30 miles away. We'll comp you the miles. And we're really sorry about this. Say, yeah, no problem. Not your fault. Bada bing, bada boom. We're headed to Murfreesboro. Then about 4 hours later, on the 27th of May, the evening, they call me back. Hey, truck's not going to be in Murfreesboro. It's going to be in Linden. And that's about 70 miles away. Now, put a pin in this. I believed them that it was 70 miles away because they were correct that Murfreesboro was 30 miles away. So I was like, yeah, they were right about Murfreesboro. I'm just going to take them for their word that Linden is 70 miles away. So I'm not very happy about this at all, but they say they're going to give me a big discount and everything. And I'm like, you know, man, you're just the messenger and you can't do anything about it. So we'll just do what we got to do. Like, I'm moving tomorrow, so I need this truck. Hop in the car and drive 100 miles to Fat Man's truck stop in the middle of the fucking wilderness in Tennessee to rent this U-Haul. Me, Kaylee, and the dogs drove 2 hours to pick up this U-Haul truck. We get there. There is not a bar of service for me to use the U-Haul app for me to tell them I am there. So I go into Fat Man's.
It's actually called Fat Man's? It's
called Fat Man's.
Okay.
I go into Fat Man's and I tell the guy at the counter, who I was hoping was Fat Man, that because he was a fat man, that I was there for the U-Haul and I just couldn't use the app. There's no service. The guy goes, oh, I mean, the U-Haul guy's not here until 10:30. It's 8:30. So I'm like, wait a minute. But I was told to be here at 8, or like I could pick it up at 8. And he's like, well, let me see if I can get the tablet working. He's like, yeah, I don't know how to work this thing. I don't know how to get into this thing for the U-Haul tablet. I'm like, okay, do you have the Wi-Fi?
Was my dad the one working at Fat Man's?
Very well could have been.
He fits the description and doesn't know how to work anything past his cell phone.
Yes. So then he's like, I don't know the Wi-Fi password. So at this point, I'm like, I don't know what to do.
To
so
his own place?
That's what I was told. This is only 8:30, bud. This day gets so kooky banana.
In the morning.
It's a control. So can you still hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, cool. Because my computer for sure just froze there.
Yeah.
So 8:30 in the morning, I'm already very, very, very displeased. And me and Kaylee are driving around these back roads to Nowheresville, looking at our phones, trying to find connection to get on the U-Haul app to do this. We finally find two bars next to this, like, sand quarry or some bullshit. I don't know. And woo, and I start trying to use this app and it's freezing up, won't work. So I call U-Haul and me and the U-Haul lady like get into an argument because she won't understand that there is no service for me to use the app. She keeps telling me to check in on the app, do this on the app. And I'm like, ma'am, you guys sent me to Nowheresville. There isn't service, ma'am. Like, this is the wilderness, okay? I cannot use the app. After an hour's nothing, getting to nowhere, we just drive back to Fat Man's, and I start beating the shit out of this U-Haul. I lose my mind. I throw my phone, and I just unload on this U-Haul. Not 5 minutes after that, this fat Indian bastard comes waddling out. He's like, hey, you want to rent a trailer? I was like, no, this is my truck. I was like, I've been here for 2 hours. And he's like, oh, I'm inside. And so then 20 minutes later, we're headed back 2 hours plus, because you're driving a U-Haul truck, to my house to unload, to finally be able to move, right? Moving sucks. And I just went through 6 hours of bullshit just to be given the privilege to move. So now, thanks to Andrew Stiz, we move the townhouse pretty seamlessly out, right? No issues. We get the truck loaded up, bada bing, bada boom. We get to Old Hickory, Tennessee, where my new place is, and get to the storage unit. We can't get in the gate because there's nobody there. We call the number. They say they're supposed to be open until 10 p.m. And they told me this was the day I'm supposed to go there. Can't get in. Nobody will answer their phone. On the phone for an hour, nobody will answer their phone. We're already headed back to Nashville to load more stuff up in the truck that we had, since we had cleared out room and taken a lot of stuff into the new house. They finally call back. They're like, oh yeah, you have to do all this stuff online. Didn't you get the emails? No, we didn't get the emails. So now Kaylee is filling out this stuff online just so that we can get the codes to get into the place. Sorry about this. Throat's dry. I haven't talked this much in a long time. So now what time is it? It's about 3 o'clock, because Stiz helps us for about another half hour. And then he had to bounce because him and his girl were going to a Kenny Chesney concert instead of dealing with moving across the city and rental bullshit. Lucky for them.
Hanging with Kenny sounds better than that, yeah.
Yeah. So I drive the truck. Now that I have the gate codes, I drive the truck back up to the new place and go to the storage unit. Boom, Kaylee and I get there. We're all ready to unload the storage unit. Sorry, unload the truck into the storage unit. And we pop the clip off, slide this sumbitch open. Remember, I was told just on the phone earlier, I really shouldn't be telling this story, bro. I should really wait till I sell this shit. The guy on the phone said, hey man, bada bing, bada boom, this is it. This is the unit. Slide the door open, and there are three fully put together, fully functioning dentist tables, full arm with a dome light, everything, and a fourth one that is about half put together. I'm talking $15,000 Stryker Dental. I opened the locker to Stryker Dental, and they just had $15,000 of untouched, unclaimed dental chairs sitting in my storage locker. Kluver, intervene here. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a fucking lot, man. When you tell these stories, first of all, the way I imagine you is like a thermometer. I look at you as if you were characterized into a cartoon thermometer.
That's pretty fun. That's honestly a pretty fun way to look at these stories.
And you actually start colder than most.
Yeah, for sure.
But man, your top line gets up there. It's hot.
And for sure.
And as you move through the story, I can just see that little mercury line climbing. Oh shit, he's
until we slide that door open, and it's just like I get hit with that morphine straight to the IV, and I'm just like, oh.
Did you feel like that was
everything
karma?
Everything is okay. I have no idea what it was. It is the goofiest, most bizarre thing I think I've been a part of. I don't even know how to describe it.
You hit,
right? I mean, like, I can't describe to you the feeling of sliding open what you expect to be a fully empty unit at the end of a very long day, mm-hmm. so that you can just unload your shit and get on with your life. And you slide the door open and it's like, what is happening?
I'm confused because the first thought I had and the message I sent to our group chat was, oh, this is Storage Wars Drake, right? This is literally the premise of Storage Wars, which I thought was a pretty good show.
It was a fun show for sure.
You got
unpaid storage lockers.
A ton of
But here's the thing. It didn't have bolts on it, right?
Right.
It just had the little plastic tag that had the number on it. Like, hey, this is locker or this is door this. You remove the tag, slide the lock or slide the little thing and the door raises. Dude, it was Storage Wars with no option.
Which is why I'm confused, because usually whoever owns a storage facility of said 200 or 300 storage garages, they have on file which garages are currently being rented and which aren't. And on the show, they know, okay, literally part of the aesthetic of the show is like they cut the padlock off because they don't have the person who has the key. They're past their time. So I don't know what happened to this one or what kind of illegal activities somebody's pulling teeth on the black market. But there could have been dead bodies in that thing, man. I mean, can you imagine that? What a story that would have been if you opened the storage locker and there was just dead bodies on ice.
Woo. I would have been so pissed because the fucking storage locker was in my name.
Yeah.
Like, I immediately looked at Kaylee. Well, first of all, I opened the door and I just went like this. Like, I had to gather myself for a bit just thinking, just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Is life real? Like, is today real? Am I in a dream that am I going to wake up on the 28th soon and just be like, okay, so that's how the day isn't going to go.
Right.
And then we just go on and have a normal day. No, like that really was how my day went. So now Kaylee and I are looking at this and she's like, what do we do? Like, she was pissed at first. I'm like, no. Okay, hold on. This isn't anything to be pissed about. I was like, I think we just hit the jackpot. I was like, this is in my name. Like, this locker belongs to me, right? Like, it is now my rented property, like an apartment.
Those dentist chairs are now yours.
They are now mine.
Yeah.
And my padlock is on those. And my other things are now in that locker. Like, it is mine, right? It is now, I can charge somebody with breaking and entering and theft if they were to go into that locker. So I was like, dude, we need to just rent a new locker. And so we took the U-Haul back to the house, backed it up against the house, and just went to bed because it had been the longest day ever, took copious amounts of vitamins, ate Reese's peanut butter cups and ice cream and went to bed. And then got up today, rented a new storage, or no, we rented a storage unit last night. Sorry. We got on the phone at a new place, rented a new storage locker across town and then put most of our belongings in that storage locker just so that, one, we needed more space because, well, we now have $15,000 worth of dental chairs. And two, because we didn't want somebody to potentially try go fishing for those dental chairs and find all of our stuff. Yeah. Right. So we now have two storage lockers on two different parts of the city. And, we kind of just came up on a pot of gold.
Oh, wow. For those listening, and you may be able to have heard a little bit of him in the background there, that's Turn Signal Kev. We'd like to welcome him back to the show.
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Kevin?
Hey, boys.
How you doing?
I'm good, boys. How are you? So, Drake, what's the story? Did you have to, like, talk to someone at the storage unit facility? He's like, hey, this is, like, my stuff now, right? Or you?
No. We're going on business as usual, bro. I haven't talked to a soul. I piled a bunch of boxes in there that are just miscellaneous household items and put my padlock on it and headed home, dude. We are just going business as usual. Nobody even knows besides me and Kaylee that shit's in there.
Alrighty then.
Dude, what I really think happened, believe it or not, is somebody who didn't have a storage locker, didn't rent one, bought those chairs, black market or otherwise. No, hold on. There was a tag taped to it that said University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Wow.
So,
okay.
That I'm thinking somebody potentially stole those chairs and or bought those chairs secondhand and didn't have a storage unit, went in there and just found one that was open and was like, all right, I'll be back for these, and closed it. And I'll be damned if they didn't rent that sumbitch to the man who ain't giving it back.
Wow.
That is absolutely incredible story.
Because Lord knows, unless you come on this podcast and speak to however many people.
Thousands, yeah.
You don't snitch on yourself, right? I'm currently certainly wasn't going to do it at the rental place, right? I'm not just gonna be like, hey guys, you know, got this stuff. No, I'm just acting like it was never there. What do you mean? I collect dentist shit, dude. This is my business. This is how I make money, dude. I get secondhand medical equipment. I fix it up and then I make a quick flip on it.
I got a guy.
You can't tell me shit.
I got a guy.
You have receipts?
Kevin, you're going to get drug into this. He's going to reference you. I got a guy that gets me some old, washed up, unused dentist equipment, medical equipment. I resell it. I'm in the resale game. Wow. What a story. Kevin Ward joining us from the car, the best version of Kevin that you guys honestly are getting a treat because it's Turn Signal Kevin. Kev, fill us in on your life, man. What's going on? How you doing? How's the grad party that you went to for Bo and not the actual person who's graduating? How's life?
Life's good, man. Yeah, so I was just at the Bauer Manor for Annie, who's Bo's littlest sister. She had a graduation party. Bo hit me up, said I should stop by. So I did, paid my respects. Good. Got to see Bo, Rachel, Annie. It's weird because first time I met Annie, she was like in third grade, and now she's graduating high school. So that felt a little weird, but it was good. Good to see the Bowers. Great people.
Drake said the same thing. We met that girl, and it was just little Annie Burr. And now she's evidently 18. And from what I follow on Facebook, she's like head of the something like 4-H community of Iowa.
Yeah, or something to do with ag. Yeah.
So good for her.
She's always the best Bauer.
And Bo is yeah, true. Bo's a Q-tip, right? He's straight Q-tip.
Bo's head looking shiny as fuck today.
Yeah. Thought so. How is the shoulder feeling?
Shoulder is doing better. Still in the sling. Got another 4 weeks in the sling. sleeping in it is an absolute bitch, but we're getting better. I'm kind of pushing the limits of being patient compliant, but hey, man, we got to get back to life here. So,
my dad would have hated you as a patient, Kevin.
I was going to say, Kevin's the
Yeah.
He would have constantly been like, Kevin, stop fucking up my work.
Yeah, so you know how they say doctors make the worst patients? Kind of the same vibe, you know. I'm an athlete. I know I've done this through two times before, and I know my way around orthopedics pretty well. It's kind of what I do for a living. So I am pushing the limits to try to promote healing a little quicker. But, you know, if you push too fast, then it's not going to heal.
What kind of limits are you pushing,
Kevin? I was just going to say it.
You're testing them limits, if you get what I'm saying?
I was going to say, if you really want to test some limits, I experimented with some not readily available peptides about a month and a half ago that I could point you in the direction of. Maybe that should...
No pharmaceuticals, nothing like that. Just activity-wise, we are pushing the borders of being patient compliant.
In my mind, you are actually the worst equation, you're the worst possible patient that there could be with the factors that you have lined up in your life, because you are, by all accounts, just to your bone, a stubborn asshole.
100%. Yeah.
Just for anything, right? But then, given that you're an athlete who's used to pushing his body, you have previous injury and experience recovering from injuries. So, you know, regardless of what this,
I have a good idea of what I can get away with, what I can't, you know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and then you add on the third one of you being in orthopedics for a job. Yeah, I'm just glad I don't have to deal with you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, lying to my orthopedic surgeon about what I'm doing.
that being said,
for everyone listening, do not do that. Listen to them. They know what they're doing. They're smarter than you. They are also smarter than me, but as Kluver just mentioned, I am a stubborn asshole.
Correct. Now, that being said, if we're testing the limits,
stubborn and emphasis on the asshole.
Yeah. If we're testing the limits, Kev, does that mean you're going to be participating in Memorial Day Murph tomorrow?
No, Murph is way out of the equation right now. Okay. By testing the limits right now, I am a week and a half out of surgery. It is literally just moving my arm a little bit. That is testing the limits right now.
All right, so you're not going to be joining me.
I am supposed to be completely immobilized for like 6 weeks.
Wow, it's a long time. And that is your right shoulder, correct?
Yeah, it's real bitch. Wiping sucks. Brushing your teeth is actually the worst part.
Anything moving your arm in a back and forth direction, basically?
No, because I have to do it all left-handed. And like brushing your teeth left-handed, try it sometimes. It's weird as shit.
Right, yeah. I was going to go in another direction there. We'll just leave that be. No Murph.
Yep, got to go left-handed for that too.
Okay. Yep. And no Murph for Kevin tomorrow. Drake, I don't think you probably aren't doing Murph either.
Dude, funny story about that. Won't be doing Murph, but the gym on Memorial Day is open from 8 to 1:30. And the coach was like, said to one of the black belts who is the general manager there, he's like, you'll be here at 10:30 to start rolls. Or, you know, the general manager might say, I'll be here at 10:30. And then coach's like, okay, Andrew will be here at 10:30. And then coach looks at me and goes, and Drake, you usually roll your cot up around 7 or 8 and start working out. And he's like, cause you sleep here. Right. And everybody got a good kick out of that. So I'll be doing that for my Memorial Day, be rolling up the cot and getting after it.
All right, cool. Well,
have you done Murph before, Cliff?
I have done it the past 3 years. Yes.
With a vest or without a vest?
Last year was the first time I had access to a vest, and I did it in 41:21.
What did you do without a vest?
38 the previous year, I think.
Okay.
And you know, again, somehow
I did it 1 year without a vest, and I forget my time, but it was in the low 30s, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're, the main limiting factor is like pull-ups, right? 100 pull-ups is a lot for people who aren't competitive in CrossFit or just like aren't great at pull-ups. Which Kev, you are pretty good at pull-ups, always have been. So Murph is a pretty good workout for you and someone who's like pretty good aerobically, right? And up until basically the fall of last year, I was not. So I was pretty happy with my time last year. I don't think I'll be setting any records. I don't think so because Zach's home for another couple weeks before he moves to Kansas City. So he's been coming out and working out with me. It'll be my second workout of the day by the time I do it. And I'm going to do it with him and we only have one pull-up bar. So we'll probably honestly do it in like 50 minutes, but just as a long grinder and to just for the tradition, no record.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to do it with my brother Ryan, up until I had a slight orthopedic injury that needed addressing.
Right.
But I wish you the best.
Thank you. Yeah. It's good at this point. Anybody who does Murph and is into it, or doesn't even know about it, it's you run a mile, you do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats. If you want to do it like prescribed, it's 100 straight through, 200 straight through, 300 straight through. I've always partitioned it into like 10 or 20 rounds and then another mile run to finish it off. Send me your time. I'm curious. Get out there and challenge yourself. I've got a couple clients who are doing it tomorrow and who have been asking me questions.
Wait. So when you say you like partition it, you would do like some pull-ups, then some push-ups, then some squats, pull-ups, push-ups, squats?
Yeah, like 10 rounds of 10, 20, 30.
Oh, yeah, you're cheating like fuck.
I mean, I don't know if you're cheating, but yeah, if you're talking about...
Cheating, man. It's cheating.
I would say doing the amount of work of 2 miles and... Yeah, but yes, I understand what you're saying. If you're going for the true to story Mike Murphy tradition, then it's 100 straight through, 200 straight through, 300 straight through. You're right. Do it. Test yourself. If you don't have a pull-up bar, do sit-ups instead. And then put in the Discord. Best Murph time. Get the free shirt. I don't know. I'll send you something. Let's talk Iowa football. We got one big thing on the agenda. It only took us 45 minutes to get there. And that is the news that Charlie Jones, the reigning Big Ten returner of the year, special teams returner of the year, is in the transfer portal and will seek to wear colors that are not black and gold next year. Although, maybe different shades of black and gold, as some of the rumor has been that he's interested in Purdue or other things. I don't know how people get these rumors.
Yikes, dude. If Purdue gets two of our former starting receivers and then beats us with them, that's going to feel bad.
And they will. They'll fuck our ass. You know, they're like, we'll just get torched. Charlie Jones and Tyrone will both have two tutties. And we'll get torched and we'll be the laughing stock of college football for an entire week. And you know what? I'm here for it. Let's do it. You know, sign me right up because I like Charlie Jones. Honestly, Charlie Jones was like a top three, definitely top five, maybe top three player on the team for me last year. And I don't know. I don't have sources like all these people in our Discord or in the on the fucking message boards. I think they make shit up, quite honestly. The Cheeto fingers get to type in and shit just comes out. And as we speak, Drake's eating cheddar and sour cream Liz. What initial thoughts from this? What'd you guys think when you saw this?
Kev, go.
Weird timing, man. Out of nowhere. Yep. I thought I remember it like... He had said something about sticking around because, like, he was this is his COVID year coming up, right?
Yes, this would be his last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really unexpected. And again, a weird time of year. Like, you'd figure that, you know, guys who want to transfer, like, know they want to transfer, they're doing it right after the season so they can done spring ball with whatever team that they want to play for going forward. Also, the fact that I think it's like, what, the May 1st deadline you have to transfer by, and if you don't, then you could possibly be ineligible unless you're granted a waiver from the current team.
Yeah, so there's a lot of – I got in a whole conversation with this about guys – the guy was sending me the rules about transfers and if you've transferred twice and if the first transfer was a grad transfer or a regular transfer or the one-time transfer rule – when the deadline was, if you're before the deadline or after the deadline, but then you can get a waiver. I'll try to decipher that. From what I gathered, because people were like, well, this doesn't make any sense because, and I think when fans hear news, they think that the anticipus, I don't think that's the right word, of something happening is it happened and then the same day it got announced, right? That's not always the case, especially when you're looking at stuff like transfers and paperwork and requests have to go through. By my reading of the rules, I believe that the May 1st, it was either May 1st or May 2nd deadline was the deadline that the player has to have their transfer request or transfer portal request in by to their current school. Right. So Charlie would have had to have gone to KF or whoever handles that inside the Iowa program and said, hey, I would like to put my name in the transfer portal by the start of May. Assuming that, you know, he's in the transfer portal and eligible to be picked up. So I imagine he did that. Right. This came out 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. He probably did that if he's being allowed to transfer. Obviously,
don't people like watch that stuff with like a hawk?
Well, but I don't.
Wouldn't somebody have picked up on that super quick?
Here's where who knows, but I don't imagine that the day Charlie put his transfer or his request in, I doubt that they granted it right away, right? Because they now have to look at Charlie Jones as an individual situation and say, okay, they have to look at previous transfers, they have to look at eligibility. And so I don't know if it took 2 or 3 weeks for that to process. You would think that they'd be working a little faster on that, considering everything's a little bit time sensitive here. I believe that's how it works, though. So he would have had to have that in by May 1st. To piggyback real quick and finish that thought, Kev, really weird timing, man. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, that kind of hints to me is like, maybe, you know, we got Arlen Bruce and Keegan Johnson. Maybe he wasn't getting the amount of reps he wanted in spring ball.
Yep.
I don't know, man.
Yep. This is where I lean because if you're a guy who, you know, nothing's changed, right? There hasn't been a season that's been played since last year in between now and starting your spring semester at Iowa still, right? You want to get to the next school and meet your new teammates, wherever that is going to be, you start building chemistry, get reps with the new quarterback, all this stuff. So in my mind, this points to he had an idea of how spring ball was going to go and who knows how many reps, how many balls he was getting thrown, how many ones reps he was taking in spring ball. And spring ball did not go the way he would have liked enough that he has made the decision. In my mind, this is what I'm guessing. He said to himself, oh shit, Keegan's going to be the guy in an offense that only features one guy, in an offense that has, regardless of quarterback option, a very average probable output, and an offense that features tight ends who they love to throw to. And we have one of the best in the country this year in Sam Laporta and Luke Lachey, who's going to be probably a top 20 tight end in the country. Keegan is the receiver in a one receiver offense. And even when you're the one receiver, you don't get as many touches as guys at Texas A&M or Oregon or you name it get. And, you know, when they're trying to put on tape what they want to put on tape for the league. And then behind him, there's Arland and Nico, who are also going to take away reps. Charlie, I'll remind you all of this too. This crossed my mind. I get it. People think he's quit. Like I saw the comments. Oh, he's quitting on the team. He's a quitter. Charlie didn't start as a Hawkeye. He wasn't recruited as a Hawkeye. He wasn't recruited by these coaches at high school. He spent years at Buffalo and then came over. He had already transferred once. He has less of a connection to the University of Iowa. And I don't know the guy personally.
You know where I sit? I just think he didn't really like it there, dude. They said he didn't really fit. And I don't think, you know, inside of him, he was just like, dude, I have an opportunity to get out and probably go catch more balls somewhere that I like to be better. And I don't fit here. So,
yeah,
like, I really think that comment might have held more weight than anybody thought it did.
And
what comment was that?
There was a
comment about how when Charlie first got there and for a while, like KF and Charlie butted heads or something.
Yeah.
Because he just did things his own way and KF had to like get used to that or something or of that nature.
Yeah. Something about, you know, he's an older guy. He comes in, doesn't know anybody. He's a lone ranger, takes care of his business, but kind of does his thing. And when we're talking about those stats from last season, if you guys are curious at home, 3 touchdowns on 21 receptions, a total of 323 yards. The Hawks played, if you do have not flushed it from your memory, in a Big Ten championship last year and a bowl game, which means they played in 14 games. Makes the math pretty easy. He had a catch and a half per game and a touchdown every 5 games.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's probably a summation of all the things that we've named, you know, probably not going to get enough reps with younger guys coming up, you know, already in a offense that is strapped for targets for receivers, probably not super connected to the program, not loving the way the program's run or Iowa City or anything like that. And it's like, all right, I got 1 year left. You know, I want to try to make the league, and I probably is not going to be able to do it here, and I don't love it enough here to stick it out regardless, you know?
Yep.
So could be that. But, I mean, this is all just pure speculation on our part.
Total speculation. I want to add as well that there is a chance, 100%, because, again, the three of us don't know, there is a chance that he had beef with somebody. There is a chance that he didn't like somebody in the building, a coach or some of his teammates, or there's always the chance of that. Now, do I think that that's the case? I saw several comments online like, what's going on at Iowa? What does this mean? Something happened? What is this a sign? I don't think so. Because if you look at the transfer stats, Iowa still sits at the bottom of the list or the top of the list, however you look at it, for the least amount of guys transferred out of the program this year. You know, we're looking at Tracy and Charlie Jones as, you know, it hurts a little bit to lose those guys. It hurts to see anybody who's contributed go and play somewhere else. We've got the least of the problems in the Big Ten when it comes to the numbers wise. So
that must be why
you see schools like Nebraska.
Go ahead, Gov.
I was going to say, yeah, you see schools like Nebraska and you got like half of their freshman and sophomore classes leaving every year.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Drake?
I was going to say that's why it hurts so bad when it happens at Iowa, is because we just never see one of our contributing guys transfer out. Mm-hmm. It just, we always see it through once we get to the contributing stage, pretty much.
Yeah. And I would have.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, Drake. And that kind of echoes back even to like our time as players, like guys who saw the field pretty much stuck around. The guys who transferred mostly weren't seeing the field. You know, there'd be guys that would get some PT, but not a whole lot that would leave. But it's a good point, Drake. You know, like guys that were contributors that had major roles on the teams very, very rarely, if ever, left.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to the culture. And again, I think Charlie's a perfect storm where he flashed. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember Charlie's touchdown against fucking Minnesota, but I mean, that was massive. He helped us win that ball game. Great ball game. That was one of the more fun games I went to last year. He flashed potential, right? Not only that, and here's where we'll miss him the most, but LeVar Woods is sad. right? Because he was a dog.
Coach Woods did not deserve this.
You're right. You're right. And Charlie obviously didn't do it to hurt Coach Woods' feelings. This is business, right? Especially the more we get into NIL and guys making money. But this hurts us the most in the kickoff and punt return game. Charlie was the best returner, named the best returner in the Big Ten last year. It'd be hard to argue any of the other returners of the year from other conferences were better than him. The guy has some stones that you can't really teach. And
he was a good returner. Yeah. I think he was a better punt returner than a kick returner.
Agreed.
But you also have to give some credit to the core guys on those units too. Like the kickoff return doesn't happen with the 10 guys up front blocking, you know. I'd say the punt return, he can make some shit happen on his own, which is pretty impressive. But you got to give some credit to the core unit guys and Coach Woods for coaching them up and scheming up some returns for them. It hurts, don't get me wrong, but
next
I'm sure there's a guy. I don't know.
That, it's just next man in. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to make a joke, Kevin, and be an asshole and say, come on, we can't give any of those special teams guys any credit. They don't do anything. But I'm proud of you, Kev. Stick up for your... Stick up for your four phase guys. You're right. The core, well,
they're worthless faceless. They're worthless faceless players. You can replace them with everyone, but they still do a good job.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Kluver, you know what I'm sad of?
What?
Sad about?
What?
You never had to experience a kick return from the wedge. I wish you would have had to play wedge one time.
The problem is they don't put 5'10", 215 guys to wedge. Like, that just doesn't happen. Bro.
RIP to the wedge, bro.
Yeah,
RIP to the
wedge. You should have had to experience that one time.
Drake, I promise you, I pleaded so hard for KF to let me play kickoff team. Not kick return, but kickoff, kick coverage. I pleaded with him so hard, and he would not let me do it. I went to him outside of practice. I said, hey, is there any way that if I can get on like the twos, like put me on the twos on kickoff so that if they need a guy goes down, a guy needs a breather, like I will prove that I can run down for a 60 yard sprint and give you the speed you need. And I will go and kamikaze people. Like, just let me do it, man. And he said, holy shit, Eric. Kluver. Are you fucking crazy? You're going to fucking hurt your hands. And he goes, Kluver, you're going to fucking hurt your hands and I'm going to look like a fucking asshole. All right? There's no fucking way.
Kluver,
exact conversation.
What did you actually think he was going to say? Did you actually think there was any shred of a possibility that that was going to go the way you hoped?
I would never have subjected myself to the man, the myth, the legend that is KF if I did not believe there was a small shred of hope that he was going to let me play second string kickoff coverage. And he shut me down like a fucking an old Dell computer.
There's nothing I love more than hearing you getting pooped on by a KF voice.
He shit on me so hard and it made so much sense once he said it. And I was like, oh, you're right. You're right. Fuck me, coach. Yeah. If I get hurt and then the backup long snapper has to play and then we fuck something up on a snap. And then they ask, well, what's wrong with Kluver? And you have to go, oh, well, he wanted to play kickoff coverage and he hurt his hands. I mean, leave it to KF. He was right. I was pretty confident I wasn't going to hurt my hands or my fingers, but
that's why you don't let the, that's why the chief doesn't let the Indians run the tribe.
It's true. It's true.
And I'm going to get canceled for that. Cause now I'm racist.
Yeah. Well, you already did an Indian accent earlier in your story before Kevin got on. So
how?
The guy out at the fucking fat boy who's like, you want to rent this truck?
Oh, now you did it. Canceled.
Yeah, cancel me, dude. I'm racist. No, it's who knows? Charlie Jones, he flashed potential. He's got a great return value, like returning value. And I think if you find the right spot maybe there's a team out there who's like, hey, shit, like this guy on at wide receiver could help us out. And he's, you know, he can add value in multiple places. So I don't know. All I know is this is if him, if he actually goes to Purdue and him and Tracy just torch the fuck out of us next year, then like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'll just get my popcorn and let it happen. Like every Hawkeye just needs a little tube of KY. They better allow KY in the stadium, right? Because every Hawkeye fan's going to need to take a little with them because we're going to get boned again with our own players and it's going to hurt. So just, that's what I'm saying. Just prepare yourself. If he goes somewhere else, I hope he balls out outside of the Big Ten. I hope he balls out even in the Big Ten, just not when he plays us. Those are my thoughts. Any other closing thoughts on that?
It's time for Eastern Conference Finals Game 7. See you, bozos.
Yeah. Kevin, thanks for hopping on and being turn signal, Kev. And we will talk to you guys on Thursday. Peace.